Will you pray with me? Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scriptures reading today are taken from Hebrews chapter 11, a few verses there, as well as Hebrews 12, the first two verses. This is found on page 977 of your Pew Bible. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, when put to the test, Abraham offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, "It is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you." By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the feeling of pleasures of sin. And what more should I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight. Now in chapter 12, the first two verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings too closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of our Lord to us today. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Philip. For years, as I was growing up, the senior pastor of my church would address the congregation at the start of each service by saying, "Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners." Even at a young age, I noticed how my particular congregation would mumble a very weak good morning when they were addressed as saints, but then a resounding, confident good morning when they were addressed as sinners. I always thought that was funny. Maybe they're still waking up. Or maybe it came from this reformed roots and this belief in total depravity. Or maybe there was just a deep discomfort with the idea that we could be saints. Me? After I lost my temper with my kids this morning? After everything that came out of my mouth when I was stuck in traffic yesterday? I'm not good enough to be a saint. I don't read my Bible enough or pray enough or volunteer enough or even trust God enough. Listen, I'm doing my best, but I'm no saint. As Ashley shared earlier, today is All Saints Sunday. Here at Knox and in the Presbyterian Church, we may not have canonized saints, but I love this tradition of looking back at our history, remembering our loved ones who have passed away, and honoring those faithful witnesses to the gospel who have paved the way for us to be here. Our biblical text from Hebrews 11 seems to do just that. Hebrews doesn't use the word saint here in chapter 11, but it does prop up this list of biblical characters, commending them for their incredible faith. These are the larger-than-life men and women of the Bible that many of us spent our Sunday school years learning about. I mean, these are the people that had their very own felt board characters dedicated to them. You remember those? I've always heard this section of Hebrews referred to as the heroes of the faith, or even the hall of faith, as the author of Hebrews takes us back to the very beginning and traces the history of the Hebrew Bible with these faithful followers of God. I appreciate Philip, our reader this morning, jumping around through the chapter at my own request so you could get an idea of who's included in this list. But there were parts of this chapter we had to jump over just for the sake of time. So here is a comprehensive list of who is included as an example of faith in this chapter. We've got Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, the Israelites as they crossed the Red Sea and marched around Jericho. We've got Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. I mean, this is quite the list. I'll give you a pass if you don't know some of these guys like Enoch or Jephthah, but there are some real heavy hitters in there. Like, who can forget Noah, the one righteous guy who trusted God and built an ark to survive the flood? Or the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I love that they include Sarah in here as well, who give birth to the Jewish people. I still remember doing coloring pages with Samson wrestling a lion or David facing off against Goliath. I mean, these are the epic heroes of the Bible. And at first glance, what a showcase of faith, right? But then, I want to challenge us to look a little bit deeper this morning. Because the Bible is messy and rarely so black and white with people who are heroes or villains. For example, we rarely tell the rest of Noah's story. After the flood, finally back on dry land where he gets drunk and naked and curses one of his sons. It's in Genesis 9, if you don't believe me. Abraham is held up as a symbol of faith, but this is also the guy who gets so scared of what the Egyptians would do to him when they saw how beautiful his wife was that he lies and says it's his sister. Like, Abraham, like that might protect you, but that did not do any benefit for your wife. Speaking of Sarah, when God tells her she's going to have a son, she laughs in God's face and then lies about it. That's what her faith looked like. But maybe worse is the way she treats Hagar, the servant, casting her out into the wilderness after she's done using her. These are our heroes of the faith? Like, really? Jacob is a liar. Moses is a murderer. Samson kills everybody and is the most gullible idiot on the planet. I'm sorry. But at least we have David, right? There's nothing problematic about him. If you spend more than a second reading the Old Testament, you are bound to run into these characters that are flawed at best and sometimes, honestly, just despicable. I don't even have time this morning to get into Jephthah. Lynette and I are expecting our second child next month, and it is crunch time for settling on a name. We've considered some biblical names, but man, it is hard to pick one that doesn't have some serious skeletons in their closet. If you were reading through the Bible looking for a role model, you're going to be pretty disappointed for the first 75% or so. But that's kind of the whole point, isn't it? The whole narrative of the Bible centers around a God who is faithful to unfaithful people. And there's this ongoing search for the Messiah, the anointed one, who's going to come and faithfully complete this covenant with God. And as different characters enter the scene, the story sets us up to think, maybe this is the Messiah we've been waiting for. Maybe it's Moses, or maybe it's David. But time and time again, these people fail too. They can't save us. They're just like us in the worst possible ways. With all due respect to the heroes of the faith, I think there's only one hero in this story. In Jesus, God himself completes the covenant with God. In the incarnation, God becomes flesh, just like us, but in the best way. And finally, we see a Messiah who can save us, who will never disappoint us, who has no skeletons in the closet, no character flaws or shortcomings. How refreshing is that in this day and age? Jesus has no selfishness or greed, no abuse of power. In fact, Jesus lets go of his power in order to empower others. He becomes lowly in order to lift us up. He takes on all of our failures and shortcomings and sin into himself and absorbs them so that we can be called clean and pure and righteous and maybe even saints. You as uncomfortable with that as I am? Like, that's really nice of you, Jesus, but I still don't think I'm a saint. And yet, when the Bible uses the word saint, it's really talking about holiness. It's the same Greek word used for the Holy Spirit or the holy city of Jerusalem. More often than not, when Paul uses this word, he's talking about the church itself, the body of believers in different cities. Check this out. In Romans 1, Paul addresses his letter to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. In Ephesians 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, before you think Paul was reserving this kind of language for some special class of Christians, some elite, extra holy religious types, keep in mind he writes the same thing to the Corinthians, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. This is the same Corinthian church that was suing each other and engaging in sexual misbehavior and leaving people out of communion. They were a mess. And Paul goes on to fix, correct them, bring them back towards Jesus. And yet, he still sees them as saints. Not because they're such faithful, holy Christians, they clearly aren't, but because they serve a faithful and holy God. Church, whatever you may believe about yourself, whatever narratives you've taken on over the years, you are a saint because Jesus makes you that way. You are holy because the Holy One makes you holy. It's so easy to fixate on our shortcomings. I'm not a good enough father or mother. I'm not a good enough spouse, or maybe my marriage has already fallen apart. Everyone else seems to have it together except for me. Why is life so hard for me? Why is faith so hard for me? We can spiral into self-criticism at best and even self-loathing at worst. Beloved children of God, you are saints because of the hand of Jesus Christ over your life. That's your identity now. You are not the hero of this story, but he is. And like all of these flawed, messed up, painfully human people in Hebrews 11, God is using you in God's story. Will you let God do that? On this All Saints Day, I hope we can look at the grand scope of history and find our place among the ranks of holy saints, both canonized and not, flawed people who have stepped into God's story and done kingdom work, both big and small. I think of some of my favorite saints, like Saint Francis of Assisi, who took on a call of poverty and cared for the poor. He lived during the Crusades, one of the darkest times in Christian history, as Christians and Muslims waged war against each other. But he believed in a God of peace. So he crossed enemy lines and met with the Muslim Sultan who ruled Egypt, Syria, and Palestine. He told him about Jesus, and both men were moved and changed by the encounter during a time when they were told to hate the other. I think of St. Patrick, who wasn't Irish, by the way, but English, and was actually captured and enslaved in an Irish raid. After years, he managed to escape from slavery, only to turn back around and return to Ireland to preach the gospel to his former slave masters. That is ridiculous. I think of Mother Teresa, who committed her life to caring for the poorest of the poor in India, even as she experienced a dark night of the soul and a feeling of increasing distance from God. I think of non-canonized saints like Martin Luther King Jr. and his non-violent work, both in the civil rights movement, as well as his lesser-known prophetic critiques of war and capitalism. I think of Dorothy Day, who founded the Catholic Worker Movement and looked to reimagine the whole political and economic system to care for the least of these. I think of Jerry, who was almost completely deaf for much of his adult life, but faithfully painted church signs at his little church in Texas and put the letters on the signs for 50 years before his death in 2020. You might never have heard of this saint because his work never made him very famous, but that was my grandfather. I could say the same of Arlene Rollins, my grandmother, who faithfully cared for my grandfather Lowell, a saint in his own right, for years and years as he suffered from dementia. She'll never have a statue made of her, but that woman taught me what love looks like. I love this idea of everyday saints. Almost ordinary, almost common, but don't let that fool you. God is the hero of this story, and God does amazing things through anonymous people. In fact, the very author of the book of Hebrews is anonymous. There are all sorts of theories to who may have written this letter, sermon, book of the Bible, but the fact is, we don't know who this everyday saint was. They were just a faithful follower of Jesus, doing what he or she was called to do. And yet, what God did through this author's witness will be remembered for all time. Church, I know some of you are called to great work. Some of you have had or will have opportunities to preach the gospel around the world, write books that change lives, make impacts on public policy. And some of us, maybe most of us, are called to work that will never be worldwide known. At times it can feel frustratingly simple or small even. But God does big things through small acts of faithfulness. You are all saints through the work of Jesus. My prayer is that we might be able to reflect on what that call means for us as saints, that we might be able to live into that identity in Christ, that we might let God define the narrative around our lives, no one else. And that we might join the great cloud of witnesses and saints in the Bible and in history and among our own loved ones who have preceded us in following and faithfully pointing to a faithful God. At the end of service today, as we share communion together, we're going to have the opportunity to light a candle in memory of a loved one, a fellow saint. And as we reflect on their faithfulness to God's call on their lives, whatever that call may have been, I pray that we would also reflect on how God is calling us to enter into God's story in our own way. pray together as the band comes up. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for being the faithful one, the hero of our faith, who we can completely depend on and trust and believe in. God, help us to discern in our own ways where you're calling us to fit into your story, the ways you're calling us to be saints, even when we don't feel like it. We thank you for who you are and the way you define us. In Jesus' name, amen.